Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. You're about to hear from Pastor James Strickland. You can find out more about us on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.
I want to bring a message about in this series. We've been looking at life. This is just one of the messages in that series, but I think it comes at a good time because there's so much sickness going on, so much in the political realm, so much in the physical realm. The world's in a turmoil, and it seems like everything's in a mess. I want to preach about if you look up, you'll have hope. Look with me, please, in your scriptures to Psalm 123. Just a little short Psalm 123, only four verses. And look at the message. Looking up brings us hope. Notice how it begins, Psalm 123, verse 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Is there a time in your life, I'd say that there probably has there been a time in your life when you expected something and you were just 100% sure that what you were expecting or what you were depending on was going to either come to pass or what you expected you was going to receive? And then for whatever reason, it didn't happen. What you expected didn't come. What you depended on didn't materialize. Well, do you remember that heart sick feeling that you had in your heart? We all have had it at one time or another, I'm sure of that. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ecclesiastes, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Listen. A lot of people today have no hope. They know that heartfelt sickness in their life. If you lose hope, listen to me, if you lose hope, your will to go on will soon fade also, won't it? Many people today have no hope. Just think of the young people. You hear it on the news quite often that young people, they call them sometimes the millennials today, millennials, youngsters, they come through high school and they go to college and they graduate with a degree and no opportunity for a job. So they move in back in with their parents and for whatever number of years or days or months or time, they lose hope. They don't see any hope for the present. They don't see any hope for the future. They've gone to college. They put themselves a lot of times in a high debt for college loans, and when they come out of school with no job, no opportunity, those bills for those loans start coming in. They're going to come in for sure. They lose hope. But it's not just young people, you see. A lot of folks have lost hope in their job. You know, they tell us now that an average length of tenure, most any job anybody has, is between 5 to 7 years. Back when most of us were growing up, if you hired on with a company or a corporation or took a certain job, you could be relatively assured that you could probably stay there and probably maybe retire there. Not so in today's society. So you see, people lose hope in their jobs. Young folks lose hope in their careers. Others who are not youngsters lose hope in their careers. They've put in a lot of time, maybe a lot of years, and all of a sudden their corporation goes bankrupt or closes out and their career's gone with it. A lot of folks have no hope anymore in their marriages. Marriages in trouble today as never before. So there's a lot of areas you find here where people have reason they feel to just lose hope. Well, a lot of folks have lost hope in their finances. It's an astounding thing for me to hear. I don't know how true this is, but I hear it often. You probably have too, that the average household today has as much as $10,000 or more in credit card debt. That scares me to hear that. So finances are in trouble on the home front and also other places as well. Well, is there no hope for these situations? Is there no hope in the present? Is there any hope in the future? Well, There is, if you look in the right direction, there's hope in all these areas. Now, what's going to take that heartfelt, sick feeling away from people who already have that going on in their life? When the outlook doesn't look all that good, why don't they try the uplook? When the outlook doesn't look good for you and I hope you try the uplook. Well, when talking about looking at life, we said that if you look at the world, it's going to mislead you. If you look backward, it's going to hinder you. If you look at difficulties, they're going to overwhelm you. And tonight together, I want to look at it with you. Looking up will give you hope. Try the uplook. Now, have you tried it lately? Have you tried to uplook lately? If you haven't, now's a good time to do that. Tonight, this very moment's a good time to try the uplook. Begin to look up, and I promise you, you'll get new hope for your life, not just now, but also in the present and in the future as well. Now, let's look at some things from this psalm about looking up gives us hope. First thing I want you to see is you need to look up, first of all, to the resources that you have. Verse 1 and 2 again. If we had no resources to look up to, there wouldn't be any reason to look up, would there? If there's nothing to look up for, why would you bother to look up? This psalm tells me about some resources to look up to that'll give us hope. When people fail to look up, that's when they fail and hope, lost hope sets in. But if you try the resources that you look up to, you'll have hope. First resource is this. There's a person you need to look up to. In the first verse, it says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." The one who dwells in the heavens, that's God. That's our Heavenly Father. The Bible encourages us to always look unto Jesus. The writer of Hebrews says in the very first chapters, it says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Well, if you're looking up to Jesus, where is Jesus now? He's in heaven. He's dwelling in the heavens, as this psalmist wrote. The Bible says he's seated right now on the right hand of God the Father on the throne. Heavens. But also, he's not just in heaven. He's here. He's here in the here and now by the power and presence of His Holy Spirit to indwell us, to encourage us, to energize us, to educate us and help us along life's way. Giving us hope, giving us help. If you look to God, there's always hope in Him. The Bible teaches us, "Hope thou in God," it says. If you look to Jesus, there's no reason to lose hope. No reason whatsoever, because for Christians, the best is yet to come, isn't it? It really is. See, since God owns everything, He's the resource you look up to. He owns everything you can see, everything you can't see, everything in heaven, everything in earth, and all points in between. God owns everything. God has all the resources of heaven and earth. That's a reason you need to look up to that person. He's the resource that we look up to. Second thing about this resources, look at the perception we ought to have. Look at verse 2 with me. "Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." Here's a relationship to look at. He talks about servants and their masters. He talks about handmaidens and their mistress, those who are their caregivers, you might well say. Maidens and servants. Now listen. Servants and handmaidens look unto their masters and their mistresses to be sure that whatever they have need of in their life, that master or that mistress is going to supply that need. The same correlation is true spiritually. We're servants of the Most High God. So we're to look up to our master, and we can look up with assurance to know that whatever we have need of, He's going to supply that need. We need to learn this truth. Just preached about it a few days ago. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." But the reason people don't get sometimes the hope that they want, they doubt God. James says if you pray and you ask God for something, if you pray and you doubt, you're not going to receive what you ask for. But when you look up as a servant to his master, look up, ladies, as a handmaiden unto their mistress, and you know that they have care for you, they love you, they're going to take care of you, they're going to meet your every need that you have. We've got to learn to believe and receive that hope that we ought to have. We got to learn that truth. Look up for that truth. Listen, expect great things from God. He has all the resources, you see. So the person to look up to is God. The perception we'll have, servants unto our master. But look at a third thing here. Under these resources, we got to have patience. Did you get that? Look at that in verse 2 again. He says, behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden look into the hand of a mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy on us. Look at that word there in verse 2, until. That means to look up and be patient and keep on looking up and don't look away. Keep looking up patiently till God sees fit to answer your prayers. The problem today in our society, which primarily doesn't know God anyway, but we live in like an instant society. It's all about instant gratification. You know, they want whatever they want. It's got to be now. It was said that I heard a man praying one time, and he's praying and he said, God, won't you give me patience, God, and give it to me right now. That's the kind of way people are. Instant this, instant that. Everything from instant coffee to instant finances to instant whatever you want to name. We're living in an instant society. Not patient, not willing to wait upon the Lord for God to answer. Well, we need to learn to look unto our God until, that verse says, He sees fit to answer. Look up with hope. Look up with our prayers knowing that they're going to be answered. The Bible teaches us in the book of James about the patience of Job. We just studied about Job last week in Sunday school. How the great man Job had great patience. Lost everything that the man could lose in this life, but a disgruntled wife in his life. But look at the patience of Job. The latter end of Job was much greater as he waited upon God. His health even gone. Sitting in a garbage heap, you might say, scraping his balls with a piece of broken pottery. He said, if God slay me, yet will I trust Him. That's just one example of patience and waiting on God. But there's another example you look at daily. Look at the farmer. Look around you at the farmer. He plants the seed. He waits on God to cause that seed to germinate, doesn't he? Then as that seed germinates, he fondly and lovely takes care of it. He cultivates it. He sometimes has to prune it to make it produce more. He takes, waters it, all that that plant needs, he gives as much as he can, and he waits on it patiently now. He waits until that little seed has germinated, until it comes to fruition and comes to maturity and bears forth whatever fruit or grain that it might be. So the farmer has great patience. The Bible says he waits on the former and the latter rains. So he's just patient, waiting on the harvest. We need to learn to look up to our God with patience as Job and with patience as a farmer. We need patience. And when we start having patience, hope will come with it. So the first thing here is the resources we're to look up to. Second thing I want you to see is the reasons we ought to look up there in verse 3 and verse 4. Why should you do the uplook? Why should you look up? There's many good reasons why I could cite why we ought to be looking up every day as Christians. I just want to kind of cover a couple of them. One reason you and I need to be looking up as children of God is because of the complacency of the world. Did you get what it said in verse 4? Look at verse 4. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Do you believe the world's content without God? They at least say they are. I know they're not, but nonetheless, they seem to be content, don't they? Without God, they don't need God. They're thinking about the here. They're thinking about the now. They're thinking about the moment. They're thinking about the instant gratification I spoke of earlier. They're not thinking of eternity. They're not thinking of tomorrow. They don't think about the hereafter until it's too late for most people. Like the rich man died in Luke 16. The Bible says he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Isn't it strange to note this? If you never caught this, you ought to look at that passage again and see what it says. That rich man was never concerned about anything but himself. His riches, his clothes, his position, his whatever, until the moment he died. And the next thing you find in the scriptures, that as in hell, he lifts up his eyes, he realizes what he's done, he realizes where he is, and he prays to Abraham, and here's what he prays for. Abraham, please, he said, send somebody back to earth. I've got five brothers. I don't want them to come to this horrible place. He was so concerned about the brethren. He was concerned about their lives. He wasn't concerned about his life till it was too late. That's exactly what's going to happen with the world. The world's not going to be concerned until many times it's way too late for a lot of them. So, we got to turn up, look up because of the complacency of the world. The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament, God says, woe to those who are at ease. The world offers people so many things that they don't think they have time for God. They don't have time to think about heaven. They don't have time to think about the hereafter and the life and the future. And here's the way some people reason. I've had some people tell me this over the years. I think, man, how misguided, misled you are. Here's what they'll say. Well, preacher, I have everything I need here. I've got good health. I've got a good job. I've got a good career. I got a 401k. I've got money in the bank. I've got a home. I got a wife. I got children. I got cars. What more can heaven offer me than I could have here? I don't need anything else. They think. But in a moment of time, it can all be gone. Ask Job. I ran into a doctor one time. This has been years ago. He was going somewhere for a medical conference, and he was about to board a plane, and he himself had a massive heart attack. And they, of course, rushed him to the hospital. He survived. But here's what he said. He said, Pastor, when I had that heart attack, and they laid me on that gurney and put me in that ambulance, he said, nothing that I had mattered. Nothing. This man was wealthy. Wealthy man. He said, nothing mattered, but am I going to survive? That's the way it's going to be with a lot of people. The world's so complacent, they don't care. They don't think about it till it's almost, for many, too late. The world's at ease, you might say, without God. And you know what? Many times churches are sort of like that. Churches get at ease, too. Sometimes we get in our comfort zones in the church, and we don't want to be disturbed spiritually to move us out of our comfort zones. That's why the church needs to look up. The church needs to look up today. Our hope is not in things, it's in a person, Jesus Christ. So you see, there's reasons why we ought to look up. It's because of the complacency of the world. But there's another reason we ought to look up, because of the contempt of the world against us. Israel, the nation of Israel, has always, since their beginning, been held in contempt with the world. The world's always hated Israel. The most of the world hates Israel today. Just look at your evening news. Anytime you'll find something about somebody hating, scoffing, mocking, laughing at Israel. So they've always known the burden of contempt. It's always been toward God's people. And I'm finding, I don't know about you, but I'm finding today that the church, I'm talking about not just our church, but the real church of Jesus Christ today, especially in our country, is being held in contempt by the world. They hate us. They scoff at us. They mock us, call us ignorant, illiterate, Bible-believing people. They say, well, you've got to be ignorant to believe in a God you can't even see, to trust in a heaven you've never seen, never have been there. You've got to be ignorant to do that. Listen, what we see as far as contempt is concerned today, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. And as days come and as days go and as years come and go, if time exists, they're going to increase with greater intensity than we've ever seen before. We've got to understand something, church. This world's not our home.
I'm not putting roots down here to stay. No. I'm just passing through. That's why, you see, we need to look up as a church. We need to look up as individuals, because I need to look up to get my clear direction on how to get to my home. Amen? So I'm just passing through here. The world's not my home, but the world is in great contempt against the church. The world, the Bible says in these verses, is proud. That's one of the things that God hates, you know, the proud look. Don't you see that everywhere you turn, the proud look? Look up. The Bible also teaches us, in the New Testament it says something like this: rejoice and be exceedingly glad when men say all manner of evil against you. They'll persecute you and hate you for my name's sake. He said, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. So when they do this to us and hate us and scoff us and mock at us and laugh at us, call us all kind of crazy names, just rejoice. Just rejoice. Because our redemption is drawing near. You believe that? I do. That's why I'm looking up. I'm looking up for Jesus to come. Any day, any moment, any time. You see, that's reasons why I look up. Because of complacency of this world and the contempt of this world. When I look up, I take on new hope. I hope you do too. There's a third and final thing I want you to see. Some results, not just the resources you look up to, not just the reasons you ought to look up. There's some results in looking up in verse 3 and verse 4. If God didn't hear us, listen to me, and God didn't answer us, it would do us no good to pray, would it? I wouldn't be looking up tonight. I wouldn't be trying to encourage you to look up unless I believed in my heart that there were some good results that comes our way by looking up. There's some wonderful results. Let me just share a couple of them with you here. First result is this in verse 3 and 4. When you look up, you get the mercy of God. Did you see that in verse 3 there? Three times in verse 3, verse 2 and 3. He says, we'll look up until that He have mercy upon us, verse 2. Then verse 3, have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Mercy. Three times. In just two verses, he mentions the result of looking up to the Lord. We get the mercy of God. Let me ask you this. How much mercy has the world sent your way lately? World don't care about you. Doesn't care about me. Doesn't care about the church. The world, you know, has proved to us it will not show you any mercy whatsoever. But the Word of God, see, encourages me and tells me in Lamentations chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed already. They're renewed to us, it says, every day. Do you ever wonder why you're still here? Because of the mercy of our precious God having mercy upon us. Even in Psalm 23, when David wrote it, he said in the last verse 6, he said, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My old preaching professor used to say, when he'd quote that verse, he'd say, surely and goodness. He said, that's two of God's angels. He said, two of God's angels, surely and mercy, surely and goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to be with the Lord forevermore. Well, that's a good reason. That's a good result of my looking up to the Lord. What do you think about it? Amen? Well, I know we'd all be honest and say, I want the mercy of God in my life, don't we? I don't know of anybody I've ever talked to in my whole life that said they wanted the judgment of God on them. Don't know a person I've ever talked to that ever said that. I don't want the judgment of God on me, do you? I want God's mercy on my life. That's why the psalmist wrote, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. When you look up, you get the mercy of God on your life. We look up with hope in God's continuing mercy. As Jeremiah wrote, God's mercies are new to us every single day. If you tried to start counting the mercies of God in our life, we would expend our vocabulary and never even touch the surface. God's mercy. Listen, we don't just have God's mercy here, or even now, or even in the present. We're promised the mercy of God not only here, but hereafter. We're promised the mercy of God until the end times and forever and forever and forever. I believe that's a good reason for me to look up. What do you think about it?
a good result is I get the mercy of God. But notice something else when you look up. You get the manifestation of God's love. Go back to verse 2 again. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden look into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us. Notice in these verses how that servant, or those servants, and those handmaidens look unto their masters. Listen, those masters and those mistresses love their servants. All weren't horrible taskmasters. Many of them loved their servants. They loved their handmaids. They just made sure everything that that handmaid needed or that servant needed, that master or that mistress provided. They looked well after them. They loved them. They cared for them. Let me ask you this. How much more does our master love us and care for us than earthly masters or maidens or mistresses would do their maidens and servants? Listen, God cares. God loves us. He shows us His love. He shows us His mercy on a daily, personal, individual level in ways too numerous, like I said, to mention. In fact, here's an example of God's love. God loved us so much that He Himself left the portals of glory, and He came here and was birthed by a virgin into human flesh, to live among us, to show us and give us an example of how to get our relationship back with the Father. He went to a cross and He died. He rose again from the dead. He ascended back into heaven. He left His word in John 14. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and bring you to that place that where I am, there you can be also. Do you know anybody ever cared for you that much? I don't know a soul who ever cared for me that much. But Jesus. It's like the old hymn says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. How true that is. And here's a good thing about it. He enjoys loving you. He enjoys caring for us. The Bible also says of Jesus as He hanged on the cross. It's written of Jesus and it says, for joy. For joy, Jesus hanged on the cross. He endured the shame. He despised it for the joy that was set before Him. What is that joy that that Bible verse talks about was set before Jesus? The joy of having children to come to Him, you and me, to give our hearts to Him, to love Him and serve Him as servants or handmaids. That was a joy of the big family of God that was going to result from what Jesus did on the cross. Well, beloved, listen, when you look up with hope, listen to me, Jesus looks down with love. He does. So you see, the results of looking up is that a great mercy comes to us from the Lord and a great manifestation of God's love. Because you see, He is, as Psalm 121 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So you see, He's our hope. He's our help. He's our happiness. The Bible tells us, hope thou in God. And I agree with the old Christian hymn that says this. We sing it a lot here. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Listen, I'm going to keep on looking up to heaven with renewed hope. How about you? When you look at life, you got to look up. There's where I get my hope. There's where I get my help. There's where I get my happiness. That's the reason we can go on with the world's contempt against us. That's how we can go on and pass on through this wicked world headed to our heavenly home. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us today. That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. We're located right here in Concord, North Carolina. If you'd like to come visit us in person, you can get directions right on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. God bless you.